Today, it's all about us. How confident is the American consumer?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. We'll get a reading later this morning on how confident consumers are. The monthly survey from the Conference Board last reported a healthy level of confidence before the recession began, but the number has been getting better for months, and the early word this morning is that trend will continue. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is here with us live with details. Hi, Mitchell.
Hi, Jeremy.
So, Mitchell, unemployment has been going up. Home prices are going down, both bad things. Why in the world are consumers feeling more confident?
You know, that's a good question. The answer probably has to do with money in the pocket, or at least maybe money in the bank. For Americans who kept their jobs through the recession, incomes are actually up. Investors obviously are doing better. Just look at the stock market.
Right.
Savings rate is going up, so people may be feeling a little more secure. It all adds up to a sort of modest mood booster for the average consumer. Chris Christopher is an economist with IHS Global Insight.
So compared to other recoveries, it's still at depressed levels. We have a very bad housing market. The unemployment rate is very high. Gas prices are high. So the only really good news we have that drives consumer confidence recently has been the stock market.
But Christopher does say that the Conference Board's reading will probably show optimism was up for the sixth straight month in December.
And this is a survey from the Conference Board. Now, Mitchell, is there any evidence that people are actually putting their confidence into action, that they're spending more?
Well, yeah, there is. MasterCard is reporting sales from early November through Christmas Eve were up 5.5% over last year. Hmm. You know, that is really good, especially if you're a retailer. You'd remember 2008 was simply dreadful. 2009 was just barely passable.
So we're getting more confident. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, consumers may be getting more confident, but so far charities aren't the beneficiaries of that. This is the biggest giving time of the year, and so far estimates are charities' donations will be down 10% in 2010. But the drop isn't being seen online. As Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports, social media is generating new, easy ways to give.
Katya Andreessen is with a company that manages donations to charities online. She says the two biggest giving days of the year are the last 2 days of the year.
A lot of generous procrastinators wait till then to make their gifts. That is perfectly suited to the online medium and a great time for nonprofits to really invest in online outreach.
And they are. Causes.com manages campaigns for thousands of nonprofits on Facebook. And this year, it launched a feature that allows you to fundraise for your favorite charity by getting your friends to donate to it instead of buying you a holiday gift.
It's actually a lot easier than like going to the store and picking something out.
Co-founder Joe Green says this and similar campaigns have generated $9 million, and much of that is coming from unexpected sources.
Charities tell us that the donors we bring them are donors they didn't have before.
And here's a tip for those new donors. If you get your donation in by the end of the year, you can take a deduction on this year's taxes. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now in Europe and Asia. As we end the year, Hollywood is expected to report strong results, not because more people are going to the movies, but because they're paying more for those expensive tickets for 3D films. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 18 points to close at 11,555.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric.
Missouri faces Iowa tonight at the Insight Bowl in Arizona. Those two public universities pay their head coaches millions of dollars each, and they're not alone. Even as state schools face monumental budget challenges, they're boosting sports salaries. Gigi Duban reports now from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Crystal Bishop is cashing out her drawer at the 15th Street Diner in Tuscaloosa. This is home of the University of Alabama's Crimson Tide football team. Bishop is baffled that head football coach Nick Saban earns $5 million a year.
I think that's entirely too much. All that he do is write X and O's on a chart and get paid $5 million.
So it's not quite that simple. Even Bishop agrees that Saban put Tuscaloosa back on the map.
I guess without the UA, Tuscaloosa would be nothing.
This is how college officials make the case for why some coaches are easily worth millions of dollars a year. Mal Moore is athletics director at the University of Alabama. He says when Saban took Alabama to a 2009 national championship, fundraising at the university shot up.
Even with the down economy, the royalties that came to the university, I think, was very strong.
Royalties from sales of Crimson Tide jerseys, oven mitts, even garden gnomes. Now, of Saban's $5 million salary, the university pays $245,000. The rest comes from things like fundraising groups, endorsements, speaking fees. And, Moore points out, the athletics department pays for itself. One way it does that?
Faithful fans that buy their tickets come to the games year in and year out.
But that's changing. The Associated Press reports that some schools are having a hard time filling seats for upcoming bowl games. And with a down economy and public university budgets hurting, athletic departments have less money to play with. So universities are increasingly subsidizing sports programs, says Doug Letterman. He's the editor of Inside Higher Ed.
And at that point, the argument about how much is being spent on the athletic programs themselves starts to change a little bit, because it is more clearly university money and money that could be going to the library or could be going to faculty salaries.
But unlike professors, there's no tenure track for a coach. One or two losing seasons, and that high-priced coach is out the door. In Tuscaloosa, I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
And finally, if you think we're getting more and more superficial and materialistic these days, here's a reality check from England. A 16th century book telling doctors how to perform nose jobs was just sold at an auction there. No word on whether it came with a ye old videotape of the ancient reality show Real Housewives of Stratford-upon-Avon. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson, on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Economists often tackle questions that to most of us seem repugnant.
Would I rather have money to send the grandchildren to college, or would I rather keep my mother, who's in a coma, alive for another 2 weeks?
I'm Bob Moon, the latest in our Freakonomics series, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.